Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios Brisbane on 102.1 FM and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games. With 10 years experience and over 500 episodes, Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture. Want to reach out? Message us on Facebook at ZEDGamesAU.
My name is Evie, and I'm here with...
Ronnie.
And Will.
You, you! What a beautiful rainy day in Brisbane, isn't it?
No, where's my son?
Oh, I'm loving that.
I don't know what you did with your son, but that's not my problem.
It's like, okay, I love the rain as much as everybody else, but it's not as much fun when you have to travel out into it to get to uni, all right? It's not nice.
Uni student life.
I did a fair amount of walking around outside today. And I don't own an umbrella and I don't own a raincoat, so
yeah,
that was fun.
I did watch you come into the station. Cold and wet. Yeah, I actually didn't really plan the umbrella because I was like, oh, I love this weather, but I have a car and then I park undercover as well, so I don't really engage with the rain. I just see the rain and I'm like, ah, that's
You're
nice.
You're like inside with a cup of tea or something.
Yeah, that's me. Looking at everyone else wet on the street.
Exactly. Yeah, that's normally what I'm doing.
This explains why you like the rain so much and we don't.
There's something like, I forget the word when you like really love rain.
Oh, I mean, there's a word for the...
Not phobia.
That's a phobia for rain.
It's the opposite of a phobia.
Rain phobia.
I remember there was a word for, like, loving the smell of rain, but I don't remember.
Yeah, there's something... I feel like I'm... Whatever that word is, I have that word.
Someone should
It just makes me feel really calm. And I think, like, my partner would put it perfectly the other day. She was saying, you know, there's something about the rain... that takes the pressure of having to be anywhere or have to do anything. Like when the sun, when the sun's out, you're expected to be at your job at the time, do this thing, you know, got all these things that you got to do, you got to be important and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, but when it rains, it's like everything is to be calm. Everything is okay. Yeah. And like a soothing sort of thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh, it's miserable because the sky is crying. Yeah. To me, it's like, no, it's calm. It's like new life.
Slow
it's
down.
Water. Like,
I 100% agree with you. And also it's a perfect excuse to play video games all day.
Oh, yeah, that's 100% my problem.
Play games too much in the
rain. Now I don't have to leave the house. It's raining. I'm just going to play video games all day.
Although,
sorry, duties.
Duties.
Gonna have to do another day.
Duties. As much as I love the rain, I am terrified of thunderstorms. And this morning there was like a particularly aggressive clap of thunder that, it like scared me. And then I heard the cat running downstairs.
Is that what you call yourself in third person? It's
like, the cat.
And she just hid under the bed. God. Like I picked her up to give her a cuddle, and then she was like, nah, don't even want this, and went straight under the bed.
There was, like, a really loud crack, like, the other night.
And
I had all the doors closed. Yeah. This was, like, I live sort of central Brisbane area, and Nat, my girlfriend's like, oh, why have you got the windows closed? Like, we should have them open so we can listen to the rain and listen to the storm. Blah, blah. Just as she opens, like, our double-glazed, like, thick sliding door to the balcony, just as she opens that, it goes crack, like, so loud. And she's like, ah!
Oh, my God.
Like, that's what you get for opening that right now.
I wasn't at home when this happened, but my mom was telling me the story. Apparently, when that happened, Mom then heard a scream. She thought it was a light that had exploded because they make this really high-pitched squealing sound.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, I'm apologizing in advance, but she goes downstairs to investigate, and it's my, like, 17-year-old brother.
Aww.
Well, apparently it was such a frightening, like, clap of thunder. I wouldn't know. I was like, I was probably in the car on the way back from the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's, well, we've had a good tangent now.
We had a very good tangent.
But the rain is good for the bushfires, so woohoo for that.
Well, we don't have any bushfires in central Brisbane, you're saying.
Yeah, but I mean, like, across the eastern coast, it's doing good, so. Anyway. apart from the weather, which is that segment of the news today, let's listen to what's been going on in the gaming news. This week in gaming news, Red Dead Online is getting some unwanted visitors. Two-headed skeletons are being released into online sessions thanks to hackers. These skeletons are aggressive and spawn at random locations, terrorizing players by surprise. Players have been capturing footage of these evil skeletons on Reddit, Twitter, and Steam forums. They've been seen popping up throwing punches and kicks. These critters aren't official parts of the game, however, people have been speculating whether this is part of a secret event put on by the developers Rockstar, but this is not the case. It turns out to be a weird and creative way hackers are trolling players. If you encounter a two-headed skeleton in Red Dead Online, be sure to lasso and hogtie it, then drop it off a waterfall or into a lake. Or simply find a new session to play in until Rockstar can address the issue. A new study done on brand intimacy shows that gaming brands rank favorably with both millennials and Generation Z. MBLM, an agency that looks at relationships between consumers and brands, has conducted their annual study, which ranks brands based on emotions across generations using emotional science. The top 10 brands in order from 10 to 1 are Nintendo, Xbox, YouTube, Apple, Jeep, Ford, Disney, Target, Amazon, and in the top spot is PlayStation. The MBLM managing partner Mario Nuttarelli says, similar to our 2019 findings, millennials form strong connections with brands in the media and entertainment industry. The combination of the esports phenomenon and the impact of hardware platforms has likely fueled PlayStation to rise in the rankings. Many other brands have also risen from the previous year, such as Spotify and Netflix. Looks like the age of tech giants are bonding well with the younger generations. IEM, Intel Extreme Masters, who host international esports tournaments, are not hosting in Sydney this year. IEM is the largest Australian esports event in the country and has been held in Sydney's Olympic Park for the last few years. Esports League has announced that it will be moving to Melbourne with its $250,000 event. The move is a huge loss for Sydney's esports community and adding to Melbourne's, which isn't just the centre of game development for Australia, but also plays host to many other major gaming events such as PAX, Melbourne Esports Open, and Game Connect Asia Pacific. Martin Pakula, the Minister of Victorian Tourism, Sport and Major Events, said that it's fantastic for Victoria to be a leader in esports, given that the state already contributes so much to the video game industry. Michael Blacharles, the Vice President of Pro Gaming at ESL, also said, Australians have always generated atmospheres that could not be matched by anything else. Coming back for 2020 was a top priority, and the Melbourne Esports Open was a natural match. That's all this week in gaming news.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want to start with?
Well, I like skeletons.
Yeah, two-headed skeletons. My goodness.
Do your duty to the community. If you find one, tie it up and throw it in a waterfall.
It's quite funny, actually. I went to Reddit to sort of take a look at some of the videos of people finding these skeletons.
Yeah.
And it's just this recording of someone on Twitch playing and just like pops up behind him and he squeals like
it's like
freaks out and then it just starts like punching him and yeah, that's pretty violent actually. They're pretty crazy.
I mean, it's like the last game you would expect it as well. Like if I'm playing as a cowboy out in the desert, I don't expect to meet him. I wouldn't expect to meet a skeleton there,
let alone a two-headed skeleton.
A two-headed skeleton.
I don't even know the story behind that.
The skeleton that they use, the two-headed skeleton they use, is actually already a prefab in the game. So it's already an object that exists within the game. It's from, like, apparently this is, I haven't played Red Dead, but there's a circus or something.
Oh, yeah, that
area,
would make sense.
And there's, like, a skeleton behind, like, a cage.
Because it would be...
In a dress or something.
Yeah.
And they use that as... To obviously then terrorize players.
That is players. A lot of work.
Just if you find a skeleton and you catch it, just don't forget to shove them all in the closet.
Yeah, that's
keep your skeletons. In
keep
the
them in the closet.
Just keep them in the closet
and just bring them out for Halloween.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yes.
Brand intimacy. PlayStation number one for Gen Z and millennials. That's not surprising.
No, I'm not that surprised either.
PlayStation is doing a pretty good job with keeping their customers happy.
I find it so fascinating that pretty much all of them, all these the top 10 brands except for like Jeep, Ford, and Target, are all digital. They're all sort of like either software or hardware leaning more towards like
technology.
Yeah.
I do think the results are probably very much American-centric. Like, just in that maybe that's where they got the most sort of from in terms of when they were doing their survey. They probably got more...
I imagine they would be.
More from the Americans, which is why, you know, Jeep and Ford are really there. But we see plenty of Jeeps and Fords over here. But Target in the States is different to Target here. So Target is, you know, you can do your grocery shop there.
I can't imagine it being that much different here, though.
It's not too different, but it is... It's a bit bigger. It's a bit more substantial there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they have more things. Yeah. Target, but I mean, that's also like it's based in America, so it would be bigger there.
It's got, you know, a freezer section for food and then other cold food and wine. And I think some Targets even have pharmacies.
That makes sense. We definitely
don't have that here. Yeah.
But also they sell alcohol out of regular shopping centers, which just seems so much more logical.
It's only specific types of alcohol.
But like even when you're in Europe, it's just
some places do that, not Sweden. But I'm going to be honest, I would actually have hoped at least one video game company would have been on that list. But then again, we also had so many controversies around that. So it's like, I mean, if you look at the other side of that spectrum, EA had been voted the most hated company like 3 years in a row. I'm waiting for them to break that streak sometime.
They should have done like brand intimacy, like the lowest ranking.
Yeah.
Actually, I wonder if I could find that out.
You probably could. They probably have done it.
I mean, EA is probably down there. Probably.
Yeah, it's
considered
from a gaming perspective, probably.
Yeah, but it's also like it's based on
a
lot of the controversies.
Blizzard has fallen at all, actually, due to like a lot of the issues.
They definitely have. They've been doing a lot of missteps.
A lot of people are still actively choosing not to play.
Yeah,
I'm not actively choosing not to play. I'm just forgetting that Blizzard exists on my computer.
Bethesda is definitely down there. I'm curious which one is lower, Bethesda or Blizzard.
Well, I want to know.
Okay, yeah. well, we'll
find out.
If someone knows. You can text in on 0420626733, or you can message us on the Facebook page at ZEDGamesAU. Final piece of news was the International Esports Tournament, so IEM, is moving to Melbourne with a lot of people mad in Sydney.
Well, so they're just going to focus on MEO instead.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. They'll focus on other events, and I'm also surprised that it was hosted in Melbourne as Sydney originally. To like, I just think that Melbourne is the hub for games in Australia.
It is now. I don't know if when it was initially started up, if maybe Sydney had more of a scene though.
Yeah, strange.
I don't know. I haven't been in the games industry very long, so
yeah,
I wouldn't actually know. I do know that, you know, like, a lot of the people that would volunteer for IEM would do MEO as well. So lots of people would go down for both. Mm. And maybe they're, just by focusing on one, they're going to be able to give it a lot more.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. We'll see how it turns out and see how many people rage. anyway, we're gonna dive into a review tonight that I've written. And will be coming up on the website soon. I'll post a link on the Facebook page and Twitter, so you can take a read if you want the more details. But I'm reviewing Lightfall, which is a game that came out on the Switch back in 2018 by Bishop Games, and the music is by Peak Media and Jupiterion. I think I'm saying that right. It's a 2D side-scrolling platformer, and it is really, really, really cute. It's set in this world called Numbra, which is a land that is perpetually stuck in nighttime. Most of the people that live in the world of Numbra are called Kamloops. And they live in these little villages and towns that you come across as you play. However, most of the villages are sort of, they're not there, or they're trapped and you've got to rescue them. So there's sort of, you're sort of a bit confused at first about what's happening. You play as this character who doesn't have a name. And you're basically a little pocket-sized shadow with big, bright, glowing eyes. Mm. And you meet an owl who basically narrates to you. So Then Al is also your tutorial, but also fills you in on the lore and sort of guides you through the world, and you're sort of following this Al to the end of the game. Basically, you... The mechanics in this game are fantastic, which is why I love it so much. It's extremely smooth, but the hook with this game is that I was playing on the Switch, so you have your four buttons, so your A, B, X, and so on.
Yeah.
They all spawn in like a cube. Uh-huh. And these cubes you can jump on and like place really quickly to use to scale cliff faces, or if you've got you quickly push B, for example, and something will pop up underneath you. So you can jump. You push B the first time, you jump, you tap it again while you're in the air, and the cube will come in underneath you, and you jump again, and then the cube will come up. Now, you can use it four times before it goes, that's enough of using the block, and then it's got to recharge. But there's also, you can throw the block forward, so, you can hit enemies with the block. You can also physically choose to open one of the blocks and place it specifically with your Joy-Con stick where you want it to be, so it can actually block lasers, so you can actually move through terrain. And
I like this.
It's really cool.
That sounds really cool.
It's really fun. It's a really great way of encouraging you to strategize,
because
you're going, how do I tackle this particular problem? What kind of block do I need for this problem? You can only spawn one block at a time, so you can't just be like, here's all my blocks, woohoo, game complete, because that would be pretty easy to do. But it does require you to think, and it does require you to react quickly, because the great thing is, too, that they've put the block that appears directly underneath you on the B button straight after you jump, because whenever I panic, I immediately push it, and it appears underneath me, and I was like, great.
So nice.
The designer, whoever created that sort of interaction, did it in a way that was like, oh my god, they're going to panic here. And then I panic, and then there's the block.
So just for reference, so if I press the button that's on the right side, the right side block will spawn. Does it spawn around the character in that way then?
No, it automatic. So one button is one particular block, and it will appear... So the one that you jump on appears directly underneath you.
Yeah.
And there's another one that you physically move. It appears slightly above your head to the right.
Yeah.
Whatever way you're facing.
Okay.
And you can just use your Joy-Con... what's it called? The Joy-Con stick. And you just move it to where you want it to be.
Yes.
So
the joystick.
Joystick. Oh, my gosh.
Joy-Con joystick.
I'm getting Joy-Con.
So each block has a different property of how you use it then?
Yeah, it does.
Right? Oh, it sounds really interesting.
It is. It's quite... There's only a couple of downsides that I had with the experience, really, because you've got these... The levels are fantastic, and the colors are absolutely beautiful. This game is these neon sort of blues, purples,
So it's really relaxing.
And very dark.
Yeah.
It is very relaxing, but it's also it's the right amount of relaxing and tension, because... The thing is, with a 2D platformer, is usually you fail a bazillion times before you reach where you want to reach. And because it's got quite a nice feeling, it's not super frustrating. The only frustrating thing for me was I wish there were more checkpoints sooner. Sometimes you go on a run and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. And the screen will pan. You're like, cool, I've got into this new section. My brain... logically was going, I probably reached a checkpoint now, and then I died trying to learn something new in this new area.
Yeah.
And then I go back to the area. So I felt like I was going back an area before, but in actual fact, it was all one section.
Yeah.
It's just I believed it needed an extra checkpoint, because I started to get really burnt out at a certain point and had to put it down for a while because
it's going to be overwhelming.
A problem with platformers.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not uncommon. It is quite a common thing that I've encountered in some platformers.
Mm.
It's also just a thing I've encountered in games that autosave.
Yeah, there's no autosave with this. You do have to physically hit a totem sort of thing. Yeah.
I reckon it kind of is with the reward and... because you want the players when they're playing to feel like they're getting a reward when they come far.
Yeah.
And if you put the checkpoints too close to each other, it's going to be too easy. But then you kind of have to balance that. And this is a really hard balance block to try to get right.
And it also depends on the skill of the player, because the reality is games do have logic. And if you play a lot of 2D platform games, you're probably going to be very good at this one.
Yeah.
So whereas for me, I don't play a hell of a lot of 2D platformers, but I do enjoy them when I do engage with them.
Yeah.
And I always find myself never really actually completing them because I get burnt out because I'm not into the repetitive, I've died 1,000 times, I'm starting to get angry, and that's not fun.
That was me in Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh.
And it's such a shame because I loved everything about Ori and the Blind Forest, but because I loved Child of Light, and they're very similar. But I got stuck so much more on Ori than I did.
There's only one 2D platformer that I still really love to play, and that's Rayman.
Yeah, that's fair.
I still love Rayman.
That's a really fun
game. I mean, and Mario. Yes. Old school.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fun party game to pop up every now and then.
Not Color, just Game Boy.
Oh, yeah. Damn. That's old.
You old?
how old are you, Evie? Oh my God.
I am not old by any means. I'm young as a gun. All right. The music, I have to talk about the music because the music is like this perfect pairing with the visual aesthetic. So it's, like I said, this dark sort of, it's perpetually night, it's starry skies, there's like blues and purples and like cool colors. There's also like reds, pinks, bright neon pinks and stuff. And you also sort of eventually make it down into, like, a cave system and there's sort of, like, green hues. It's, like, really lovely touches of color, really lovely aesthetic, visual aesthetic. And the music is just this combination of sort of, like, tribal sounds and orchestral sounds. And it's also got a mystical feeling about it.
Yeah.
So because there's all these tribal people or tribal creatures, the Kamloops, think of something else now. They obviously are tribal and they live in small villages and towns, and it's got this sort of like river city, river town sort of thing. So there's these tribal elements, and the orchestral music gives you that sort of big wooing feeling, like, oh, it's a big and mystical world. And then there's like lots of tinkling sounds. Also, the sound effects are really satisfying. They're like these little like tings and whoosh, like whoosh ting, like really nice, those sorts of sounds.
I really like myself a good whoosh and ting.
I think I need to
good whoosh ting. Can't go wrong.
ting whoosh, you know?
Yeah. But overall, I mean, aside from being, like, I actually didn't finish Lightfall. But I have read that some people wish that it had lasted longer. It's quite a small narrative. It's a game that you can finish quite quickly.
Yeah.
I couldn't finish it because I genuinely got so frustrated.
That's fair.
In saying that, I loved the game. I really loved the story. I thought it was really sweet. I loved the lore, and I loved the mystery of not knowing who you were as the player.
Yeah.
I thought that was really clever. That
you
the,
as
player
the player
didn't have a name. They didn't know who they were and what purpose they had. And you were sort of climbing through the world of Numbra to find out who you were and where you belonged.
Yeah.
And I really loved that. Super compelling story. I definitely think it is worth adding to your collection of games on your Switch.
Yes.
Nice.
I'll do that.
Is it just on the Switch or can we get it somewhere else?
You can get it on PC as well. So it's just PC and the Switch. Nintendo Shop. So yeah.
All right. You're going to have to check
that
out.
Well, I think the Switch is a bit fun. So
I feel like...
I think it's a little cheaper on PC.
But I feel like I probably prefer things like platformers on something like a Switch. I like playing platformers with a controller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also like more the casual feeling of playing on the Switch that I enjoy as well.
And
lot.
it's quite a crazy game. As much as I got frustrated just purely because I was like, I want to win, man. But like, you can really take your time. Nothing really feels like a huge pressure, so that's nice.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a wonderful
game.
Nice.
We're going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe, Will, you have something to discuss.
I have something to discuss. I always also have kind of a game review to talk about. It's a little bit of an older game. But it's one game that's very close to my heart. It's been this main feature of a bit of a controversy as well. And I'm talking about Command & Conquer Rivals. It's a game made by Visceral Games and EA Redwood Studios. And a lot of listeners might know about the Command & Conquer series. Have you guys heard about it before?
No,
you're on your own, dude.
I'm on my own.
You're on your own.
Well, Evie and I are just sitting here like,
you were going to tell me before the show, and I was like,
tell me on air. Yeah. Yes. So, a little bit of backstory. Red Alert, Command & Conquer Red Alert was the first kind of games that started off with EA. Very famous real-time strategy games on the PC.
Right.
Very in-depth, like big kind of universes. And they kind of slowly lost favor as the games changed and people didn't like the newer iteration so much. And then people were really excited to hear that EA were going to release a new Command & Conquer game.
EA, the most favored.
The most favored studio. And people are really hyped about that. And then they find out that it's a mobile game. And there was a lot of controversy about EA taking such a big franchise. Like, it's a staple when it comes to real-time strategy. And then porting it to the phone, people felt like a betrayal or just a waste of the name kind of thing. Like, rubbing dirt on it.
I mean, that's understandable. There have been some great games that didn't translate very well into mobile. Sims.
Yeah, but so that's what I want to come at you with today, because I decided to give Command & Conquer Rivals a try. And I can say it's absolutely a beautiful, beautiful made game.
Oh, really?
Yes. I chugged a couple hours into this mobile game. I thoroughly enjoyed it. When they released the game, they said, well, we didn't choose Command & Conquer and then make the game. They made the game, and then Command & Conquer just fit to the theme of the game. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, so how the game basically plays out is... it's kind of a you build your army before the game kind of situation. So you have different classes that counter each other, and then you then go into a 1v1 match where you have a nuke in the middle, and you win by either destroying the enemy base with your troops, or if you hold control over the nuke silo long enough, that will shoot a nuke that does half of the damage.
It looks like quite similar to StarCraft.
In the style, it's definitely a lot like that. They also have the kind of mineral system where you can send out a harvester that will collect minerals for you.
Ah, cool. This actually looks quite fun.
It is a lot of fun. One thing I really enjoyed about it was the way you have to build your army composition before the game actually starts. It gives you a lot of possibilities to play around with. It does suck a little bit if you come into a match and you've been heavily outmatched. But I noticed that once you get into the game, that's something that very rarely happens.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of tutorials online as well where you can check up on how to get better army compositions as well. So, and also each of the units are very unique in the way they act and feel, which really makes it so that when you play the game, you have your army composition, and whatever your opponent throws at you, you will have some sort of counter to. Even things you wouldn't expect to counter one thing, you could still use as a counter.
So it's quite... So would you say that you need to have, like, a lot of prior knowledge about what does what before you can sort of start engaging in battle, so to speak?
Not necessarily, because you get kind of eased into the game quite well.
So it's not like a sharp learning curve?
No, no. I would say it's a quite nice ease into the game. It definitely is a skill cap where the higher players will climb very quickly.
Right.
Because I, being a game designer, I do study a lot of games, and I am aware of the game mechanics. So I climbed very quickly compared to other people.
Yeah, okay.
But that is also, like, for the better players coming into this, you're going to be matched fairly. And as a newbie, you're going to be matched against someone at your skill rather than being crushed by someone right away.
That's good. That's helpful, because I'm going to be honest
with you. The matchmaking systems.
I suck at strategy
games. Yeah, no, I'm not the best.
And I will very quickly lose interest if I cannot succeed in some way.
Yeah. And that's definitely, like, this game definitely eases you in a nice way.
Every day to win.
We're the needy players.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand that.
We're just like approval and kindness at all times.
Well, it does feel exceptionally well. So one of the things you might not like be ready for, since it's a mobile game, movement is a big thing in this game. Like, they have a nice cap of how many troops you can have out on the field at the time, which makes it so that you get your troops and get maxed out. And then positioning and moving those troops out real time is the part of the game where you can really outplay your opponents. Yeah. I've had some really nice plays, you know, where you're like, oh, I'm forcing the player now, I'm attacking him, and then faking a withdrawal, pulling him in, and then taking him out by doing a pincer attack. Like, I actually do those kind of strategies, and they work, and you feel excellent when you manage to pull that off.
I'm glad you feel good. I don't understand anything you just said.
Yeah, no,
take my excitement as how much
sign.
I like this
I'll
game.
I'll take it as a good sign.
Yes.
That for, you know, people who love strategy games can now
Yeah.
play successfully on their mobile and on the bus
you go.
Yeah. And do those pincer moves.
The pincer moves.
I don't know why there's like a gangster sign as I said pincer moves. Yeah, yeah, like
one thing with the game though that I have to say, since this is also me advocating phone games a little bit. Phone games can be just as deep as any other kind of game. Don't be afraid to put a little money into it. That's one of the
see what you're doing.
That's one of the things that people might get scared of, because this is a free to play game. You don't have to put any money into it. I put in 100 Swedish crowns, which is like $6-$10, something like that. I think
that's
it's about
more than I
$10. Yeah, but yeah. you could still buy, like, people, you know, buy dollar games or $10 games on Steam and stuff, but for some reason people are scared of doing it on the phones.
I don't buy $10 games.
I don't
on
feel
Steam.
Like people are
my
afraid
Steam
to do it
library
on phones.
Is
as a lot of people
stagnant
who do
for a while.
Oh, well that's because you and I are poor uni students. But for everybody else, don't be afraid to put a little money into it, like support the creators. And Ron is just giving me this
really
laughing
like
look.
Now, like. I feel like it's a cop out because it's like I just finished uni and now all of a sudden I'm not a uni student. Therefore, I have money. You'd be wrong.
But there's a lot of people that have money and they buy these games and then get mad when they have to pay for things.
Oh, I'll happily put money into a game that I already enjoy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
The hundreds of dollars I've spent on Overwatch.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
so worth it.
I'm pointing it out because people are scared of doing that on phone games as if phone games or anything less of a game for some reason.
Sometimes I think it's because they're worried about it being a little bit sketchy.
Because
I feel like there are people that have had issues with money being taken from them.
That's fair enough.
Mobile games. And it is a very real fear to have.
I can see that. But it's at the same time, you have to support mobile game creators just as other creators.
What's your biggest... So what did you spend the money on with Command & Conquer?
Yeah, so basically, as I said, you have like kind of these cards that you put in before the game, like the army build-up. And they do have their leveling system is basically after you play games and do quests and stuff, you get to upgrade your units, and you do this by getting these cards.
Oh, cool.
There's also like trading cards within your guild, so to say. There are different kind of mechanics of getting the cards you need. That's why I'm saying you don't have to put money into it to enjoy it.
Right.
I noticed that, though, if you want to be on the higher levels, you're going to have to put money in because there is a point where the grind becomes
too
much.
There's the point where it's like becomes pay to win because there's hardcore players out there.
But then at the same time, you reach that point after like 5-6 hours of play.
But that's like a lot of games.
That's a lot for
a
mobile
free games.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the only kind of like that I didn't like about it is that it is a little bit pay to win in that sense. But it's one of the things I also realized. It's a one-time payment thing. You get very good value for the money. And if you spend 6 hours on a game, it's very well worth it to give them a little bit of money.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, it's a really nice game.
It
highly suggest
really nice.
It.
Yeah.
I highly suggest it.
I pulled it up before.
Oh, it's rad.
It's a pretty cool... It doesn't look bad. I've come across a lot of mobile games that look a bit sketchy.
Yeah,
judge a book by its cover. Gosh.
Yeah, but it is a professional. It's a professional studio made. Visceral is a great studio. EA Redwood Studios is also amazing. With this game, you don't have to worry about being scammed. It's a very, very well made game, and for what I know, it's still being worked on and prompted today. So
that's fantastic.
So
still going. People obviously love it.
Yeah, it's going nice.
For those who play strategy games, just
not
Ronnie and I.
Yeah.
Definitely not. We'll stick to Overwatch.
That's good. That's good.
I always get a reward out of dying 1,000 times in 5 minutes. Anyway.
Sweet.
Get good, Evie. Come on.
Get good.
Well, it's been an interesting episode today.
It's been nice.
It's been nice to escape the rain and huddle in the studio together.
Still colder in here than it is.
It
outside.
Is cold in here. I had to put a jumper on, but it's humid. It was 95% humidity the other day. It's like blinking. You sweat. Like
I don't like
it's
this.
It's just water in the air. You just walk out, and it's a wall of water. It's
yeah,
it's fine.
It's sticky.
My hair.
I don't support this.
Anyway, hopefully the weather doesn't bring you all down too much. But I'm loving it. It's come to the end of our time this evening, but. From all of us here in Zed Games, we'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Want to listen to more Zed Games? Check out our podcast on Spotify or follow us on
Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, which is at ZEDGamesAU to get behind the scenes action,
sneak peeks into reviews and, of course, lots of memes.